Well, I want to thank you again for an opportunity to come and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told y'all this morning, God called me to preach, and in my ignorance, I told him, I said, well, Lord, make it rain. Y'all heard that. And since then, I can't wait to preach every time I get a chance. And I've preached in Baptist churches, Nazarene churches, and Pilgrim Nazarene churches, and Bible Wesleyan churches, and I tell you, God laid a burden on my heart for lost souls, and he hasn't lifted that, and I believe until he comes back, I'm going to do my best to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thank you for this opportunity to be with you. I hope you'll pray for us. As I said, I'm not pastoring right now, just seeking, saying, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? So you pray for Brother Dodd and say, God, give him direction, and I'll do whatever he wants to do. Amen. Praise his name. Luke chapter 17, Brother Carpenter, I tell you, the songs that he picked, he was just dancing all over my scriptures, just everywhere, just tromping all over in the field that I was going to preach from. And he preached about Glad Day. I never heard that song, but I want to talk to you about a glad day. Coronation Day, one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back. And that's what I want to look at tonight. It's going to be a glad day for some. I hope that you sang that from your heart. Glad day, not an anxious day, not something that you worry about, but a glad day. Several years ago, I don't know if Brother Cable remembers, but my dad and another preacher and myself sang a song called On That Coronation Day. It was my first time to sing, really. One of the first times to sing with my dad. And on that coronation day, heaven's courts will ring with praise, but they'll never crown Jesus till I get there. And one of these days, I plan on being there. Amen. Luke 17, we'll begin reading with verse 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said to the disciples, the day will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. You shall not see it, for they shall say to you, see here, see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part of under heaven and shineth unto the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be on the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that's in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said, wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. I want to talk to you about the storm that the forecasters got wrong. The storm that the forecasters got wrong. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would open up your word. So we look into the truth of your word, your soon return. We pray that you would help us tonight, that every heart would be at peace tonight when we leave this building, knowing that if you should come tonight, that we would be ready. We pray and ask this in your name. Amen. As I look tonight at this scripture, I thought that this describes a coming storm. I believe that our world realizes there's a coming storm. You look at even some of the advertisements for some of the modern movies is about Armageddon or about this or about that. And it's the world is looking itself and saying, there's coming a day when there's going to be a great war. I believe you could look at any of the news headlines of our day and realize that our nation is in trouble. Our world is in trouble. You can look at the things that are taking place and you can realize that unless something happens, time is very, very short. And so tonight I want to look at this, that Jesus Christ told them, and he's here talking, and his disciples said, "Lord, we want to know more about this kingdom of God. We want to know more about your coming." And he told them, he said, "You know, there's going to be some things that come to pass. There's going to be some things that happen, and you'll wish you were in the last days, but you're not going to be in the last days." But he said, and you look at this, he said, "The days will come, you'll desire to see the days of the Son of Man, and you'll not see it. They'll say to you, 'See here or see there,' go not after them or follow them." And in Jesus' day, even if you read the book of Thessalonians, there were those that were saying, "Here's Christ, he's come back, here's Jesus." And they were looking for Christ's return, but Jesus knew that it was way on down the road. And he said, "This is not going to happen in your day." But then as you get down to verse 24, he says, "As lightning that lighteneth out of the sky one part under heavens and shines to the other part of the heavens, so also shall the Son of Man be in his day." He said, there's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to come back. This disciples, Pharisees, this isn't going to be in your day, but there's coming a day when Christ is going to return. And then he proceeded to tell them about that day. He describes a storm. I grew up in South Louisiana. Y'all know that that's the place where there's hurricanes that come in. And I've stood on my front porch and watched hurricanes. And I believe it was Brother Mark told me that hurricane came right over Tyler, Hurricane Rita, after it destroyed Lake Charles and Beaumont and came up through Jasper and came right up through here, but it had lost a lot of its strength. But I remember watching as those storms would approach, and the first thing you'd see is we would be outside playing, and all of a sudden you'd see the sky light up. We didn't see the lightning bolts. Pew, that's not what you saw. But you see, just we called it sheet lightning or heat lightning. We called it both of those terms. You'd see the sky just no rain. The sky might be blue out here, but you'd see the gathering storm over here. You'd see the dark clouds that were coming and begin to see. And this was before the days. Back then, they made fun of forecasters. They used to just, they were the joke, you know. Every time you talked about weather forecasters, that was crazy because they didn't know what was happening. And most of the time, they were wrong. I just got a new app on my phone just the other day. They updated it, Brother Johnson. And it shows a circle for the next hour. And it says rain for 4 minutes and then no rain for 3 more minutes, and then rain for 6 minutes, and then light rain for 12 minutes. And you sit there, and I watch that thing, and it tells you minute by minute what you better expect. And then it tells you the 24-hour forecast, and then it gives you a weekly forecast or a 10-day forecast. And you know what? It's pretty close. But back when I was a kid, we didn't have all that sophisticated stuff, and so we'd watch the sky, and we'd be outside playing. We rode our bikes. We rode miles. I'm talking about miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. We didn't sit there like this, Brother Johnson, in front of a Xbox. That's not what we did. We was outside playing. But we had to watch the sky, and pretty soon you'd see some sheet lightning out there, and we'd say, uh-oh. And we'd watch that as the storm began to build. And as the clouds begin to roll in, and it would get darker, and we knew about how far we were from home. We weren't allowed to go a real long ways, but we knew about how long it would take to get home, and we'd watch, and pretty soon we'd head for the house. We'd park our bikes in the shed and run inside, and then all of a sudden, here would come the rain. What was it? You could see that the storm was coming because you could see lightning over the horizon. We moved to Oklahoma, and in Oklahoma, my wife said, "I just thought it was flat till I moved up there to Oklahoma." And I mean, you could see way out there the storms. You could see them long before they ever got to you.
And you see that lightning begin to light up the sky, and you say, somebody's having a storm over there. Well, that's the picture that Jesus gave. And he said, just like lightning lightens the sky before the storm comes, he said, it's going to be the same way when the Son of Man comes. There's going to be signs. There's going to be things that you can see to see that a storm is coming, that a storm is approaching. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. What happened in the days of Noah? We know the story. The Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. He stood up and he shook his finger and said, there's a flood coming. God said there's a flood coming. God said he's going to destroy the earth. He predicted it. He told it. He didn't know the exact day. He didn't know the exact time. But he said, there is coming a flood because God said there would be a flood. God told me to build this ark. God told me to gather the animals. God told me. He gave me the directions. And he preached righteousness to all those people. And the response is recorded here. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, until the day when he went into the ark and God shut the door and the flood came. Likewise, Lot, in the days of Lot, they ate, drank, bought, sold, planted, builded. They did just like people are doing today. There are preachers out there. There's, like I said, there's books being written. The lady that I work with is very interested in end time events. And she'll bring me books and she'll say, Chuck, read this book. Chuck, read this book. And she comes and lays them on my desk and she'll say to Chuck from Virginia. And she says, look at this. And there's people very interested in end time events. Preachers are preaching about this. They're saying, Jesus is coming back. And yet people go right on doing whatever they want to do without a thought in their head. Why is that? Well, I believe that the answer to that can be found in 2 Peter. He said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, skeptics, walking after their own desires or their own lusts, saying, where's the promise of his coming? Hey guys, where is it? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this, they willingly are ignorant of. In other words, they are willingly ignorant of the facts, is what God is trying to say here. As I said, I grew up in South Louisiana, and they would predict the storms were coming. I remember when Rita came through, and my mom, she headed out. She headed up to I guess we were in Texas at the time. We were in Sherman. And she got in the car, and my brother packed his stuff in the car, and my sister-in-law and my mom, and whew, here they came. And my dad said, I'm going to ride it out. My dad's just going to ride it out. He's going to be all right. But then all of a sudden, they begin to say, hey, this thing's getting big. This isn't a category one or two. This thing is getting really, really big. And I remember we were trying to call my dad, and my mom was crying, and she was on the phone saying, Chuck, you need to get out of there. You've got to get out. You've got to run. You've got to get away from the storm. And my dad was a skeptic. Oh, it's not going to be that bad. I've ridden out hurricanes before. They're not going to be that bad. But as it got closer and closer, he realized it was fixing to get really bad. And he jumped in his car and headed east as fast as he could go toward Ponchatoula, Louisiana, and just barely outran it. And it devastated Lake Charles. It devastated the town. But there are those that, just like that, in the physical realm, they're that way in the spiritual realm. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. I remember when I was a kid, I'm going to confess something to you. My dad preached about the rapture. He said, Jesus Christ is going to come up. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. And I thought, now, remember the bottle of STP gas treatment that I knocked over, and I had that burden of sin on my back, and I hadn't confessed my sin, and I carried that. I knew it wasn't right in my heart, okay? I knew that I had something I had to take care of. I'm talking about a little kid. And I thought to myself, okay, when I hear the first toot of the trumpet, I'll say, dear Jesus, would you please forgive me of my sins? And I'll do it real quick before he hits the last note, and then I'll get saved real quick. I did, brother. I said that. Where is the promise of his coming? What he's saying here is they say, preachers have been preaching about this for years. We remember way back there, the old time preacher said, he's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. And it hasn't happened yet. Things are, they continue as they were from the beginning. And he said, they're willingly ignorant. They close their eyes to the fact that the storm is getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Amen. They ignore the signs. I didn't know what a tsunami was until that one hit some years ago and devastated that country. And I remember I got on a website and they said, print this off and you'll see how many people died in the tsunami. And I began to print and there was dots on pages, just dots and dots and dots. And it began to print and print and print and print and print and print and print until I had stacks of pages of nothing but dots. And I began to flip through there and it began to weigh in on me. These people, they were killed by something they didn't even know was coming. That tsunami came in across that country and devastated that whole country. And then I began to think, but there's a storm coming far worse than that tsunami. I've heard of volcanoes blowing up, and they sense that rumbling, and they sense that. And those people, I remember when Mount St. Helens blew up. We were living, we were living out in Idaho at the time, or maybe my grandpa was living out there, and we heard about it. That's what it was. We were in Jennings, and he was out there, and they said that those people up on that mountain felt the shaking, and they knew something was fixing to happen, but they refused to leave the mountain. They were willingly ignorant and stayed up there, and it went boom and blew the side off of that mountain. Kind of the same way, people, they just say, you know what? Preachers have preached about that for years. I told some people here, George Fitch, he was an old preacher, an ancient preacher. When I was just a little boy, I was 5 years old, and he stretched a chart all the way across the Twin Falls Church. And he had a big stick, and he pointed about end time events, and he preached that. When I was just a little boy, just a little kid. And I could sit here and say, you know, I've heard all that stuff. But that was just lightning. But let me tell you what. If I didn't believe this with every bit of my heart, I would not stand up here. I've got 600-700 other messages I could have preached tonight. But I believe his coming is right around the corner. I believe that with every fiber of my being. I believe it with all of my heart tonight. He said, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. These people are scoffers. They say, where's the promise of his coming? Where is it? You've been saying he's coming back for years. He said, Peter said, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But here's the thing. God is long-suffering to us and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe that God is standing there and he's looking down and he said, there's room at the cross for one more. Gabriel, he's got his trumpet, and he's ready to go. And God said, hold on just a minute. That's what the scripture says. He's not slack. He's not going back on his word. But he said, just hold off just for a minute. There's still some folks down in White House, Texas. They're in revival. Gabriel, hold off just a minute. Amen. Hold off just a minute. Just stay right there just a minute. He's not slack concerning his promises. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His coming is going to happen just as surely as you and I are sitting here tonight. Jesus told them, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. Many will come and say, I'm Christ, and deceive many. I believe we've seen some of that. You look at David Koresh, I'm Christ. Brother Cable used to be down in Guyana. He was a missionary to Guyana. And down there was Jonestown, Jim Jones. I've been by his place there when he was in Indianapolis. He was a pastor there in Indianapolis. I'm Christ! That crazy cult out there in West Texas, that fundamentalist cult and all that stuff, and Warren Jeffs. I'm Christ. I'm the leader. We see a lot of that. There's a lot of that going on. And people begin to pop up and say, I'm Christ. I heard just yesterday, there was a teenage girl that says that she has Jesus Christ. She's pregnant with, with God's baby, and she's bearing Christ. She's going around telling people that. No, he said, no, no, no. Take heed that no man deceive you. There's going to be many in that day that say, I'm Christ. And listen to what he says. You'll hear wars and rumors of wars. Any of y'all listen to the news this week? See that you be not troubled. Brother Carpenter, I listened to that song that you just led. Why should I anxious be? Glad day, glad day. So here, that came right out of here. He said, when you hear wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled. Because all these things have to come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. That word is ethnic group shall rise against ethnic group. It's not talking about countries here. Who are we fighting right now? What country are we fighting right now? It's not a country. ISIS, ISIL, whatever you want to call it. It's an ethnic group. It's a religious group. He said, that's what you're going to see in the last day. Used to, it was Germany and Japan and Italy against the United States and Britain. And it was country against... He said, but in the last days, it's going to be ethnic group. Who's shooting at Israel? Hamas. Ethnic group against ethnic group. Who's fighting over in Africa? Ethnic group against ethnic group. You see that? So he said, you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. For nation, that means ethnos is the word. Ethnic groups shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We're seeing some of that. And there shall be famines. Yes, sir. Look it up. Some of the worst famines in the world happen just right now. And pestilence. Ask my wife about pestilence. I went to bed last night. She was almost asleep, and my phone went bling. And I looked over there, and I went, look at this. And it said, healthcare worker from Texas Health Presbyterian in Dallas test positive for Ebola. My wife works for TMC Hospital. I work for TMC Hospital as a chaplain. And this is just right south of us, just right there. And that man got Ebola, and now another health worker has tested positive, and I thought, oh boy. And then you listen to all these other diseases that are around that these kids in all of these states are getting that are killing people, and you listen to the other nations, and there are diseases. And I talked to somebody the other day, and I said, I'm sort of worried about MRSA. They said, there's things that are so much worse than MRSA, and MRSA is a bad boy disease. There's hardly any... antibiotics, there's almost nothing that'll get to that stuff. They can do it, but it's tough. There's diseases out there that are mutating and changing, and that's what he's talking about here. He said, you look at it, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. I was sitting in my dining room just the other day with my brother-in-law, and we were sitting there. It was we were just visiting, and all of a sudden my chair went. And I said, did you feel that? And he looked at me and said, that was an earthquake. And we both jumped up. You're not supposed to have earthquakes where I live. That's supposed to happen out in California, Brother Johnson. It's supposed to happen somewhere else. That's not supposed to happen here in Texas. Earthquakes in diverse, strange places. And he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. That word beginning of sorrows is what we would call labor pains. I remember my wife. She was expecting my first boy, Chip. And we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what to expect. She's, honey, I think we need to go to the hospital. And we packed up, didn't we? Remember that night? I don't remember how early it was, but we packed up and headed to the hospital. And we got there and they said, honey, it's okay. You just need to go back home. Chip was saying, hey, here I am. Fixing to be here. So he said, when you see all these things, he said, that's the beginning of sorrows or birth pains. He said, then they'll deliver you up to be afflicted, kill you, hated of nations for my name's sake. Hated of ethnos for my name's sake. Hated of people of other religions for my name's sake. It's just painting a picture here. He said, and then shall many be offended. That word means tripped up, scandalized, tripped. And betray one another and hate one another. False prophets will arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And I like this part. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to the nations. We're seeing that. They tell me that because of the internet, that the gospel is reaching into places that never before heard the gospel. They're busy translating the gospel into every known language. And as far as I know, they're very, very close. We're living right here where Jesus said. It's sure. His coming is sure. He told them when he was being taken up, he said a cloud received him out of their sight, Acts chapter 1. And they looked steadfastly in heaven, and two men stood by in white apparel. And they said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go up. He said, just like you saw him go up just now, he's going to come down just like that. John wrote, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. It's going to happen just as surely as you're sitting here. Yeah. It'll happen secretly. The scripture that we read said there will be two in one bed. The word men was added, but that was in italics here. And it says, there will be two in one bed, and one will be taken and the other left. One saved. And one's rejected God. And the one that said, no, I don't believe, they're going to sleep right on. And one will be gone. And they'll reach over. Hey, did you get up and go to the bathroom? Are you in here? Hello? That's what he says. One shall be taken. The other left. He said, watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, he doesn't say here that you don't know, you're not going to know about when he's going to come. I totally disagree with that. I think that the scripture said, just like you see lightning coming over the horizon, you're going to know a storm. I believe that we're going to know that his coming is very clear. But he did say, you will not know the hour in which your Lord comes. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known on what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He said, of the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction come on them as travail on a woman with child, but they'll not escape. Listen to this. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. He said, the day is going to come like a thief in the night. It's going to be something that we don't know the exact hour. But he said, you're not that way. It doesn't have to catch you by surprise. Because you're looking for it. July 18th, 2014. I got up to go to work. Brother Johnson, I get up every morning about the same time. Chip was at home and he was working with me every day. So I got up and I went through my little routine. I got ready. I got dressed. I got my coffee. I was sitting there waiting for Chip to get ready. I told Chip, I said, Chip, I'm going to go out and get the truck started, get ready, lock the door when you come out. So I got my laptop and got my coffee cup and I went out to sit in the truck and I walked out the front door and walked down the sidewalk and looked and my truck wasn't there. I thought, now, I always park my truck up there, so I turned around and the truck wasn't there. So I said, okay. okay? So I walk down the driveway, and the church, the house is here, and the church is here. So I walk past the church, and I look between the church and the annex building, and the truck wasn't there. So I walked back up and looked in the driveway, and the truck wasn't there. And so I looked everywhere, and the truck wasn't there. And I walked back in the house, and I said, "Chip, we got a problem." I said, "The truck's not out there." And I thought, Brett's playing a trick on me. So I went in the room, and Brett was sleeping. I said, "Hey, if you move my truck, it's funny, it's a joke, but where'd you put it? Did you take it across the street and park it at some friend's house over there?" He said, "Dad, I didn't move it. I don't know what you're talking about." So I went into Anna's room, and she's sleeping. And I said, "Sweetie, I guess somebody stole my truck. You're going to have to take me to work in the van. It's gone. It's gone." And she said, "Are you serious?" And I said, "It's gone. I mean, it is gone. This is July 18th. So she got up, and she was trying to get herself around. And so I called 911, and I said, "Hey, I think I've been robbed. Somebody stole my truck, and you all need to get over here." And they said, "Oh, okay." And so we were waiting. I thought, well, I'll wait till the police show up, and they'll take a report, and I'll go on to work. And so I told her, I said, just get up and get ready, and we'll wait for the police. So we waited quite some time. I'm talking about a long 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so. We waited, and the police still didn't show up. And somebody texted Brett and said, "Hey, there was a robbery across the street last night." Or he looked at his phone. Finally, he got woke up, and he looked at his phone, and this person had texted him at 4 in the morning and said there was a robbery across the street. And so he's waking up and reached over for his Glock on his nightstand, and it wasn't there. And about the same time, my wife had put her purse in the study because she had bought tickets for Chip to go back to school, or Trent, and she went in the study to get her purse, and it wasn't there. And she came into the kitchen, and there was her purse, but it wasn't right, and stuff was out of it. And all of a sudden, I called 911 again and said, "Hey, not only is my truck gone, but they were in my house." They were there real quick, all of a sudden, and the driveway filled with police officers. And we realized that someone had been in our house while we were sleeping, and we never woke up. They had been in Brett's bedroom, this far from his head. And he never woke up. He was the only one with this door open because he said, "I want to hear if we get thieves in the house. I'm going to shoot them." Everybody else had their door closed. He said, "If you'd have known what hour the thief was coming, you'd watched. You better believe it. If the thief had called up and said, 'Hey, I'd like to make an appointment.'" "Okay, sure. What you got?" "Well, I'm going to be there about 4:30. I'm going to rob some houses across the street, and I need your truck to make my getaway. Would you please be there? Make sure the keys are on the counter. Make sure your money's out. And would you make sure?" Better believe I'd have waited for him. Mm-hmm. Me and 40 calibers of instant death. But I didn't know. And it caught me by surprise. First time I've ever been robbed. Second time for my wife in 1 month. Oh, he said, "But of that day and hour no man knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Yes, "Brethren, you're not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief." He said, they're willingly ignorant. They put their hand over their... God said, "I'm coming back." He has scheduled an appointment. He said, "When you see these things, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh." He sets an appointment with us.
We want to go back to sleep.
Not only will it happen secretly, but it'll happen suddenly. Jesus told the story of the five wise, five foolish virgins at a wedding. They were getting ready. In those days, the bride would get herself ready. The groom would show up. In these days, the groom gets ready and stands up here, and the bride shows up. We wait for her to bust through the back doors. But in those days, the bride would be ready. She would wait, and the groom would get all of the house ready and all the things ready, and then he would show up. And so that's the picture, this oriental picture of Jesus' day. And he said, while the bridegroom tarried, or while he was slow in coming, they all slumbered and slept. And there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. And they got up and trimmed their lamps and said, give us of your oil because our lamps are gone out. And I looked at that the other day in a different light. And that was, the cry went out before the bridegroom came. The cry went out. The bridegroom cometh. Get ready. Go out to meet him. And they began to trim their lamps. I grew up in Louisiana. Hurricanes. We had hurricanes. We had Aladdin hurricane lamps. I learned how to trim lamps. Those wicks would be here and they would get burned, and we would have to trim those things so that they would be bright and make sure that there was enough oil in them. And we had to make sure because you might lose your electricity at any time. And so this was a time for them to trim their lamps, to get their lights brightly burning. Guess what I'm doing tonight? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Guess what revival is? It's time for you to trim your lamps and say, Lord, help my light to shine bright. Help others to see it. There was a delay here in his coming, and they were asleep. Behold, he's coming. Wake up. Get ready. He said, while they went, there were some that let the oil run out of their lamps. Our lamps are out. And they went to go get supplies. And it says, while they were gone, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him in the marriage, and the door was shut. What did it say in Noah's day? And the door was shut. Folks, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but the way I read Scripture is that the call goes out, and either you're ready or you're not. And it'll happen suddenly. Two women grinding together. Suddenly, one's gone. He said, the one will be taken, the other left. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, we shall not all sleep. In other words, we're not all going to die. Listen to this. We're not all going to die. I had a house supervisor over the whole hospital the other day. She came to me and she said, Chuck, you're my pastor. She said, look, in my phone right here under pastor, I've got Pastor Chuck Dodd. She said, when I die, I want you to preach my funeral. I said, Karen, you may not get a chance to die. Jesus Christ is fixing to come back. You don't know that you'll die. He said, we shall not all sleep. That means we shall not all die. But we all will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How long does it take for your eye to twinkle? Shorter than a blink. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It will happen secretly. I believe that there are some that will wake up and not know where their companion is. They'll be gone. I believe there'll be some nurses at the hospital, and they'll look, and every little crib in there is going to be empty. It's what the Bible, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not trying to just scare tonight. This is exciting to me. I'm looking forward to his coming. It'll happen secretly. It'll happen suddenly. Then it'll happen selectively. He said two men will be in the field and one taken and the other left. We don't know the story of the two men. I don't know. I don't know whether one of them was Joe and the other one was Fred or Bill and Bubba. I don't know who they were. All I know is one of them had his heart right with God. Love God with all of his heart, mind, soul, body, strength, and his neighbor as himself. And the other guy over here was a good old boy. I pastored Brother Jim Dunnigan, and He testified over and over again. He was a Dallas police officer for years. And he said, I worked on the Dallas Police Department. And he said, I went to church one day and the preacher told me, hell is full of good old boys. And he said, that did something to me. He said, that stuck with me. Hell is full of good old boys. Well, maybe this guy here was a good old boy. Didn't ever really do a whole lot wrong, live life. But the Bible says one's taken and the other's left. Look at the situation. He said, there were two in the bed and one taken. That's at the midnight hour. He said, there were two grinding. That happened at mid-morning. There were two in the field. That happened from midday to mid-afternoon. We don't know what time it is. I believe Jesus did that on purpose. There were two in the home. There were two out in the harvest. There were two around grinding wheat, grinding meal. He said, it'll happen selectively. Matthew records that Jesus said, Lord, Lord. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? That means preached. Lord, I was a preacher. I was an evangelist. I was a televangelist with a huge following and a big church. Have we not preached or prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And he said, then I will profess to them, I never knew you. He said, there will be some in that day that say, I did all kind of things for you, Lord. And he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But that's not all he says. He told them over in Luke, he said, I say unto you, you'll seek to enter in, and you'll not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, you'll stand without and knock on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he'll answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. He didn't tell them, I never knew you. He said, I don't know who you are and where you're from. And you'll say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he'll say, I tell you, I know you not. He'll tell some of them, I never knew you. But there are others who have backed up on God, who have walked away from God. And he said, I know you not. Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answered, and verily I say unto you, this was the five wise, five foolish virgins I told you about. He said, those five that didn't have oil in their lamps, they had had a testimony. Listen to this. Their lamps at one time had shined just as bright as the other five. But their lamps went out. And listen to what Jesus told them. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. He does not tell them, I never knew you. He says, I don't know you now. Their lamps had gone out. Learn the parable of the fig tree. It's going to happen suddenly. When her branch is tender, she puts forth leaves. You know summer's near. He said, when you see a tree and the leaves come out, you know that summer's come close. So ye in like manner, when you see these comes to pass, see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the door. I say this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. I was not alive when Israel became a nation. My dad was not alive when Israel became a nation. Well, no, because he was born June 6th, 1948, and Israel became a nation May 6th. Is that right, brother? I believe it was May 14th, but right before my dad was born. And so he said, learn the parable of the fig tree. When it begins to bud, and Israel's national symbol has been the fig tree, he said, when it begins to bud, the generation that sees the budding of the fig tree will not pass away until they see all these things come to pass. And I look at my dad, and my dad's hair is turning gray and turning loose. And I think to myself, Jesus said, the generation that sees Israel become a nation, they'll not all pass away. Now, I was taught when I was a kid, there were preachers preaching that said a generation is exactly 40 years. And so that 1988, a book came out that Jesus was coming in 1988. Well, Evidently, they interpreted that wrong. And yet he does say, the generation that sees the budding of the fig tree, this generation shall not pass till all these things are done. But of the day and the hour, no man knows. It'll happen selectively. It'll happen suddenly. It'll happen secretly. And I believe it's going to happen soon. It's right around the corner. One person said this, out of all the people that are church members in America, 10% can't be found, 20% never attend church, 25% never pray, 30% never read their Bible, 40% never give at church, 50% never attend the Sunday evening service, 60% never give to missions, 75% never assume any part of any ministry of the church, 85% never come on Wednesday night, 95% have never won one person to Christ, yet 100% think they're going to heaven. I don't know where he got his numbers, but that's true. There's a lot of people that say, well, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm a good person. No, he said, you better keep your lamps all trimmed and burning. Be looking for him. Why? Because there's an approaching storm. As the lightning that shines out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The forecaster said, oh, we've heard all this before. We've heard it all before. Where's the promise of his coming? We've been hearing this forever. You've been saying there's a storm coming for a long time. I heard that when I was just a kid. Oh, you're just trying to scare us. No, I believe with all my heart that his coming is so very soon. But I go back to the scripture that I read at the very first. He said, they say, where's the promise of his coming? And the answer was, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering. This is not God failing to keep his promise. This is God being merciful. The only reason he hasn't come back yet is because he's giving you another chance. I love the song Brother Carpenter led a while ago. It said this. He said, the hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. And it didn't strike me ever before until I was sitting right here and I thought, yes, it's long suffering. The love of my Savior, his hand is strong, but his love is long suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's giving time for you. Sister Carpenter, can you come to the piano? Let's sing that song again. I want you to stand. Let's sing page 239. And I want to sing it together one time through. There is room at the cross for you. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But he's coming soon. He's made opportunity for you tonight. Would you be anxious if you heard a trumpet sound? Amen. I used to get anxious when my parents would take a Sunday afternoon nap and it would get dark and I'd wake up and they weren't awake and I knew it's time, getting time for Sunday night church and I looked and I'd go put my ear to the door to see if I could hear mom or dad moving around because I was scared because I knew it wasn't right. Amen. If you showed up here next Sunday morning and nobody was here, are you ready? Amen. Is it something that scares you? Did this message scare you? If it scares you, you can get it cleared up tonight. There's room for you. Let's sing it. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And his grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is his fountain, it's as wide as the sea. There's room for you. For you, though millions have come
There is still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates, and he'll welcome each sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Listen to this third verse.
The hand of the Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior, it's long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss and through pain, the blood flows from Calvary, and it will cleanse every stain. And there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.